Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Last week, David and Goliath was the beginning of the story that we talked about, and David was about to face Goliath, something that he wasn't expected to do. He was simply about his father's business. He was taking some food, some cheese, to his brothers and the commanders of the office, commanding officers, and he was going to get a report of what's going on with the battle. Go back and tell Dad. And we talked about in this world, even when you're about your father's business, it doesn't mean anything in your life you're doing wrong. We will face giants. Giants just show up. Giants that we were not expecting. A giant diagnosis, a giant relationship crisis, a giant sorrow. All kinds of giants. Doesn't mean we were doing anything wrong. But in this life, we face giants. And we ended with this phrase of King Saul speaking to David. He said, "Now go, the Lord be with you." And that's how we concluded our service. "Now go, the Lord be with you." And there was a little awkwardness, because it was, I left out the best part of the story. And that, I said, was because the best is yet to come for David and for us. And here we are, the next part of the story. But really about God being with us, that phrase, "God be with you." There are a number of churches who will say, "The Lord be with you and also with you." But that is key to this story, that the Lord would be with us, or maybe better, we would be with the Lord. When Moses would say, "We're not going forward. God, if you don't go with us, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're not taking another step." For me, and I think probably for you as well, we don't just want to somehow bring God along with us wherever we're going. We want to be where God is going. God is not your passenger. "I'm in charge. Go ahead, God, hop in. Away we go." Neither is God your taxi driver. We just get in and the Lord takes us to where we're supposed to go. I think it's more like God is our driving instructor. That he's beside us and he gives us the wheel. What was he thinking? He gives us the wheel and he then gives us instructions. We don't need to know the way as long as we have him with us. Because he will lead and guide and direct. We're to follow him. We're not just to bring him along. So rather than a taxi where we just get in and he goes, it's like he sits beside us and he gives us directions. But he understands our frailty, which is this: when he says, "Go left," and we turn, and he says, "No, your other left." Right, when he says, "Do said," "Well, no, I know a shortcut. I know a better way. Here, we'll go this way." And he never has to say, "Recalculating," because he already has a plan. In fact, he already knew that we were going to take that left turn or the right turn when he said left. And I understand there are moments when we cherish Carrie Underwood's song, "Jesus, take the wheel." You know, it usually comes in the moment of help. "Jesus, take the wheel." And he does. Aren't you glad for that? He does, and he steers us through whatever rough patch it is. And then, okay, your turn again. Take the wheel. I want you to listen to my voice. I want you to listen to my direction. When we say the Lord be with us, really we're with him. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is where we pick up the story. Saul has just said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." Verse 38, 1 Samuel 17, if you have your devices, if you have your Bibles, if you have the app, there's lots of notes in the church app under sermon notes. In fact, at the end of this talk, I'm going to have about 9 things to share with you, and so you don't have to try and write them all down. You can go to the app. They're all listed in their sermon notes. Here we are, verse 38. So Saul clothed David with his armor, with Saul's armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. There was no postage strike, so. Yeah. The times I amuse myself. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk. And it says, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. I can't walk with this. I can't walk with someone else's armor. Loved ones, God doesn't give you the grace or the strength to walk in someone else's armor. It just doesn't fit. He doesn't give you the grace or strength to go through what somebody else is going through. He gives you your armor. He gives you the strength and grace to face what he's called you to face or what you're going through. Sometimes we say this, we look at somebody else's life, we hear a story in the news, and we say, I could never go through that. Beloved, we don't get a choice on a lot of things. I could never go through. We don't get a choice on a lot of things that we go through. If we had the choice, we wouldn't go through it. The sorrow, the suffering, the struggle, whatever. Count me out. But we don't get that choice. Sometimes we're just about our Father's business, and there's a giant. But we can't try and face it in somebody else's armor, someone else's experience. Just like David couldn't do it in Saul's armor, no matter how magnificent it may have looked. Someone else's faith, someone else's relationship with God, we can't rely on that. And we see this over and over in Scripture. Sometimes God delivered people from things. Yay, I love that. Sometimes God delivered people through things. And that's harder in the midst of it. But God is the deliverer. Either way, God is our deliverer. We read the beautiful stories in Hebrews chapter 11 of the heroes and sheroes of faith, of what by faith they did, by faith Abraham, by faith Noah, by faith, just on and on, by faith. And we rejoice and think, look at all the amazing things that happened by faith. And then it continues on, by faith they were destitute and they had no place to live and they were sawn in two. And it speaks of them of whom the world was not worthy. We can't go through things with someone else's faith. We see this in the New Testament. It's actually in the book of Acts, where the seven sons of Sceva tried to cast out some demons. Look at this, verse 11 of chapter 19 of the book of Acts. It says this, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. And really, they were unusual. Doesn't mean to start a ministry of passing out handkerchiefs or that kind of stuff. These were unusual. We acknowledge this. And so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. This is a point of confession. Even when I talk about the handkerchiefs, you know, that I've seen on TV before about prayer cloth, I'm going to pray over this and send it to you. And I remember I was in a home group, and I was pretty young in the ministry, and I had an attitude. I'm sure you can't imagine that. And we were in a home group, and I said, you know, when they say to, you know, just reach out and touch the TV and you'll be healed. And a lady in the group said, I did that, and I was. A point of faith. Her faith, not mine. Point of her faith. But it says this, that then some itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, over whom those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered in this. Answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? You can't go on someone else's faith, someone else's experience with God. It's not a formula. Well, this Jesus that Paul preaches, they needed to know Jesus, and we need to have our own armor, our own relationship with God, so we know what to do, what God is calling us to do. The other thing that we can't do is we can't walk in our human armor in a spiritual fight. Our answer is not physical, it's spiritual. Listen, if this was a physical fight, David would have lost. If this was a physical fight only, David would have lost. This was a spiritual fight. Remember earlier last week we said Saul's comments to David. You have no experience, and Goliath has nothing but experience. He's been a champion since his youth. Verse 40. Then he took his staff in hand. This is David. And he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in the shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? You talking to me, right? Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. He took his staff. I would do that too. Take Kathleen and Shauna and Brandy. And just take it. That's not the staff he took. He took, for those of you who didn't get that, but he took five smooth stones in a bag and a sling in his hand. And then David did something nobody else did. He drew near the enemy. Remember, the Israelite army is standing up on the hill being taunted. And when he shows up, they say, have you seen the enemy? David, nobody else did this. He drew near to the enemy. And Goliath sized him up. Close enough for Goliath to get a good look at him. And it says that he was a youth, good looking at that. You know what it means? There's no battle scars. There's no hardness of military service. There's a young man standing with a purse or with a sling and a shoulder bag and a shepherd's staff. And Goliath looks at the shepherd's staff and says, you brought a stick? What am I? I'm a dog? Like, essentially, we're going to play fetch? You're going to poke me with the stick? And it says that Goliath cursed David by his gods. I submit to you that Goliath's problem was not that he underestimated David. It was that he underestimated God. Verse 45. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came, drew near to David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. You've come to me with sword and spear and javelin, with experience and stature and strength. You've come to me because you're the biggest and the strongest and the baddest. But I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, of whom you have defied. The name of the Lord of the hosts of heaven. You think this is the only army that he's got? Standing behind me quivering on this hill? He is the Lord of angelic armies. And I come to you in his name. He's not just the God of the Israelite army. He's the Lord of hosts. And Goliath, you have chosen poorly. You come to me with sticks, said Goliath. Yeah, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And I love this. David says this. Today all the earth will know, not that a shepherd boy can stand up to a giant or a champion. And we need to hear this, because so often we'll hear the story of David and Goliath, the little company taking on the big, whatever, that illustration. David didn't say so that you will know that a shepherd boy can take on a Goliath, that a shepherd boy can take on a giant. Today you will know that there's a God in Israel. It's about him. He's going to receive the glory. This is not David's battle, so this will not be David's victory. Verse 49. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face. to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath and killed him, cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they surrendered. No, they fled, the liars. David hurried and ran to the battle. One stone, how many times had he picked up a stone? How many times had he used that slingshot? They know that this stone would be the stone. Stone small enough to fit in. It had to be small enough to fit in the sling. It wasn't this huge boulder. I'll show you how to defeat giants in your life. All you need is a stone. And Goliath fell face down, and I love that picture of him falling face down, because you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines, and they put it in front of their god Dagon, and in the morning they wake up, and where is he? He's fallen face down. Face down before what represented the presence of God. They set it up again the next day, face down, arms broken off. And that's, I'm convinced of my life. You know, sometimes people say, you know, when I stand before God, I've got some questions. Let me know how that goes for you. I think when I see Jesus, I'm guessing I will just fall on my face. Just like John did when he saw him in the book of Revelation, I fell on my face as dead. And maybe after 1,000 years, I might lift up to get another glimpse of the glory of Jesus. It's just fall. It is so natural to fall before the presence of the Lord. Don't be surprised when you have giants in your life, even if you're just about your father's business. Here's the 9 things. I'm going to give them in a list form. We're going to go quick through them. Number 1, recognize the Lord is with you as your instructor, not your passenger. We've welcomed Jesus into our lives. Now listen to him. Secondly, don't approach the battle in someone else's armor, especially if that someone else is a spectator. Well, you know what you should do. Well, you know, here, loved ones, it's okay to get godly counsel. It's wise to do that. But don't approach the enemy in somebody else's armor. Well, they said I should do this. You got to hear from God. You need to be able to walk in your own experience. David said, God's delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. He'll deliver me from this Philistine. It was his experience. God had already worked trust in him. It's not going to look like how someone else will do it. Third, God is with me. I'll follow his instructions. I guess I said part of that earlier. But the sense of following his instructions, the God who spoke still speaks today, and we believe that. But sometimes we're looking so much for God to speak. You know where need to look for God to speak? Where he's already spoken. Get into your Bible. Open God's word. Look for his voice in what he's already said. Next, when you hear what the enemy says, what the enemy threatens, don't believe it. The enemy is a liar and he's the father of all lies. Believe the truth of the word of God, and speak truth. Let it come out of your lips. I heard a preacher say years ago, and I just love this, when they said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, said, I need to speak truth so my ears hear it. So I can hear it. Speak truth. Confront the enemy with truth. Next, remember the battle's the Lord's, not yours. God, this is yours. I am looking to you. Here we are at this place. I'm not going to win this in my own strength. It's not just a physical battle, it's spiritual. And so I'm looking to you, the Lord of hosts. Next, Goliath underestimated God. Don't make that same mistake. Don't you underestimate God. May we not underestimate the God who said there was, let there be, and there was. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Do not underestimate what God can do. If it's loaves or fishes, if it's a Red Sea, if it's blindness, if it's death, don't underestimate what our God can do. I remember the song, I don't know who else sang it, I just know Elvis sang it. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. Next, give God the glory. Make sure he gets it. make sure he gets the glory. When you're giving testimony of what took place, of how the giant fell, of how you were delivered, of how you were set free. The message is not that a shepherd boy can stand up against a giant. The message is that there is a God who is alive and well. That Jesus is able to do what we could not. The last couple things. Remember this, that he has or will provide you with the weapon when you need it. David showed up to Goliath after he had fallen with no sword. And so he took the enemy's sword and cut his head off. What the enemy intended for evil, God can turn around for good. All things can work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And the very strategy, blueprint, schematic of the enemy, his assault against your life, God can turn that around. The greatest defeat was the cross. Or at least that's what the enemy thought. The cross is the greatest victory. Victory over death, hell, and the grave. It's the cornerstone of our faith. You can't take the resurrection away. Loved ones, God will provide you what you need when you need it. And have anybody noticed he doesn't often do that well in advance? But when you need it. He does not give you grace for tomorrow, but he does give you grace for today. And when tomorrow gets there, there will be grace for that moment. Lastly, put this in your pouch. Don't smoke it. Put this in, not your pipe, your pouch. Get some scriptures. I would recommend to you, get five. Get five scriptures that you can stand on. Memorize them. Meditate on them. Get them in the pouch of your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Get God's word into your heart. Five scriptures. Five smooth scriptures. Roll them over in your heart. Roll them over in your mind. Roll them over in your voice. Speak them, speak them, speak them. Five scriptures that you can stand on. That you and know where they're found. Get the address nailed to. Know where the scriptures are found so you can turn, so you can share with somebody else. Know those verses. Get them in your heart. So when the enemy comes against you, you're able to draw upon. Greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Read it in context. Read it with good doctrine. Get those scriptures in your heart so you give the Holy Spirit something to draw upon. Not just flipping through your Bible here. No. Intentionally, get it in your heart. So in those moments, the Holy Spirit will have something to draw on because it's hidden in your heart, and we will be able to face any giant. For God is with us, not against us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Father, we are here in this moment so grateful for the victory that you bring and for the victory that you provide. And we look to the story of David, not just because it's this shepherd boy facing a giant, but it's so applicable to us today that the giants that we face, the giant diagnosis, the giant struggle, the giant confusion, that God, all the giants that we end up facing, you have a way of victory for us. It's promised in your word. We stand on your promises. We stand on the word of God. Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Malachi 3:4-6. You are the Lord. You do not change. So God, we trust in you. We look to you. And I just speak, dare I say, prophetically over this congregation, those here, those watching online. By the word of the Lord, I speak victory. Victory in the name of Jesus. Strength, courage, grace to go through the battle. I pray victory, not just at the end, but victory in the midst of the battle. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.